Again, Susan, thank the youth choir and the choir, and most of all, the Lord this morning. God has given us their church, his church, Fletcher, so much talent. You're using it for his glory, and God honors that. We'll honor it. Our job is to honor him. Turn your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, in his early ministry, he's doing miracles. He's going through the countryside proclaiming. He has chosen his disciples. His disciples are still learning. We are his chosen. We are still learning. And every time I read Matthew chapter 5, understand that it is probably the essence, the highlight, the top, if you will, of all his teachings. And every time I read it and preach it in conferences across the country, I learn something new just reading it, studying about it. This morning, I hope we can learn something new or refresh our memory that which we already know, realizing that Jesus has for us something this morning. He has prepared the setting this morning with the worship service. Thank God for his presence. In Matthew chapter 5, begin reading with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, more than one, on the east side, on the west side, everywhere he looked, followers, hundreds and sometimes thousands following him. Some for the right reason, many for the loaves and fishes. He went up into a mountain. And when he was there, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. I want to look this morning at the thought, invitation for those that truly seek the Lord. The multitudes did not go up with him to the mountain. His disciples followed him. The others probably could have. He didn't turn them away, but he was talking to his disciples. And Matthew recorded it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so you and I this morning could see and understand what he wants us to understand about following him, about seeking him, about the whole essence of being a child of the King. We'll look at it in three different divisions this morning. It's so large, it's so complex, and we'll try to break it down in three sections as we get our arms around it. First of all, let's read the text together. We won't read, the whole Sermon on the Mount. Every time I've started preaching the whole chapter, it seems like after a couple of messages, God changes it or something else happens. But this time, Lord willing, in the next few weeks, Lord willing, if he doesn't change my mind, we will go through it. But this morning we're only going through verse 9. Let's look at verse 3 through 9. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He has given us the message this morning. It is the complete essence of all those that want to follow him and let him be Lord. There's a starting place. One of my favorite sports events, never been to one, obviously, I've never participated in one, is a marathon. You see people gathering at marathons from all over the country, and there's hundreds and sometimes thousands all lined up. But they're all lined up at the starting line. There's no shortcut. You don't say, well, I can't do the whole, you know, several miles, 20 or more miles, I don't know. But I can't do it all, but I'll kind of jump in after the first 30 minutes or so. No, no, no. There is a starting line. And for those seekers, those volunteers, the disciples, they went up on the mountain when he was set. This morning, the worship service has been set by him to prepare our hearts for what the Lord would have us to understand this morning. But the starting place is at the first verse we read. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I want to look first of all at the composition of that which constitutes, the very composition. What is the important thing that he wants us to learn? Well, there's something that's contained. It's within us. And the only way it's going to be within us is for us to become poor in spirit. We can't be a child of God. We cannot follow him. We cannot learn about his ministry or participate in what he wants us to do without becoming poor in spirit. Hey, I thought we became rich in spirit, rich in his spirit. But to be rich in his spirit, we must be poor in our spirit. John says, I must decrease so that he can increase. And if we think we can get to the starting line within ourselves or within that which we contain, we're going to be fools. So he says, the composition, remember now, it's volunteers. Those of us that wants to grow in grace and knowledge. And he says there must be a composition within you. There must be a willingness to do these things. We're going to look at the first section of each one of those verses at the composition or that which must be contained within herself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Self-denial. A lot of people don't want to deny their self. They want to keep that which they have and let him add to it. No, becoming poor in spirit. Sifting out, deny ourselves because we're going to look at him. Blessed are they which mourn. The object is to seek him. We mourn. You ever been to service? I've been in a few services where, you know, people are just mourning. They're not speaking in tongues. They can't say the words. And when you become poor in spirit and you want to grow in grace and knowledge, and you deny yourself, and you really are serious about learning him, he said, blessed are they. The word blessed means a congratulations or a special anointing on the individual that is willing to just say, okay, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to pray. He takes the feeling, the infirmities in their heart, that because you don't know your heart, and I don't know my heart. But if I'm willing to let him give me a spirit that wants to give him praise and honor and deny myself, and then I'll be able to seek him with all my heart, and we're mourning for him, we're desiring him. You don't know the words to say, you don't know the actions to take, but you know you want to seek him and get more about him, and you're willing to deny yourself to do it, then he says, blessed are they that mourn. The third one is, blessed are the meek. That is a state of mind. Those that don't want to be high and exalted, remember, the way up is really going to begin when you get down low. The gentle people. There was a man, the Bible tells, was the most meek of all, and that was Moses. A meekness. Jesus was meek. A gentle spirit. A kind spirit. That's the one God wants to enable. When we deny ourselves, and when we seek him, and then we start looking to him with this state of mind, I don't want anything but you. I don't want what others have, because you have given that. God gives talents. and we're not seeking to be famous. We're not seeking to be lifted up. We're seeking Him, humble, gentle, meek spirit. And He says, blessed are the meek, those willing to deny themselves, to seek Him and have a state of mind that He and He only is the most important thing. But look at the next one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Set in your affection. What's going to thrill you in this world? Popularity? Praise? Having a position somewhere? Having more money? Having cars? Having all the things? All these might be wonderful, but really, he says, you have to set your affection. Because blessed are they that hunger and thirst, not after wealth, not after anything else, but after righteousness. Remember, there's nothing in us that's righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, He wants to impute it to us. And He wants to give us of Himself. We do that by self-denial, by seeking Him, by having a gentle spirit, and then we set our affections. Lord, nothing's going to please me except you. And I'm going to sit at your feet. Mary learned that. Remember, Martha never did. She was cumbered about with much serving. I'm afraid many of us like that. We're pretty good at serving. And that's okay. Marthas are needed. But don't deny the seeking Him and thirsting after righteousness. Because blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at the fifth one. Blessed are the merciful, those that show mercy to others. Now he gives a condition, he's going to bless those. And it's volunteer. If you want mercy, then you show mercy. And his mercy is so great, his mercy endureth forever. The mercy we show is depend upon the situation, I'm afraid, a lot of times, because we're not willing to deny ourselves. We're not always willing to seek Him. We're not always willing to do these things. But if we take that first step and sequentially step by step. You know, used to, when my boys were little, I would be their baseball coach at times. On the condition, I said, that you won't schedule any games on prayer meeting night or any other church night. And that went really good until tournament time. And then at tournament time, I forgot they denied and they go ahead Wednesday night, but not my boys. Because when prayer meeting started, I quit, even though I was a coach. I took my son out, went to the Lord's house. Why? Because he says we have to show mercy. And the way I teach my children that is I have to be willing to let his mercy abound in me, showing mercy to others. And it doesn't matter what God wants me to do if I'm not willing to do it. And with all my heart, I want to show mercy to others. And God says, if you want to show mercy, I'll give you mercy. So he shows mercy to us only when we show mercy one to another. Look at number six. Blessed are the pure in heart. Sanctification. Holiness. God's spirit within you. He said, blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. If that's what we want, God's going to give it to us. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, if the desires are not of our heart are not to show mercy and kindness, and if the desires are our heart not to have a pure heart, he said the only way to have a pure heart is to sanctify yourself. Now, these are willing things, he says. He's not standing there and says, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. No, it's everything. He says, blessed are they that do these things. It's a volunteer situation. If we really want the peace of God, and we really want the blessings of God, then we have to obtain these simple illustrations and these simple things that God told us to do. So if we want to be pure in heart, if we want to be happy, if we want to rejoice in the Lord, we have to be willing to let Him sanctify us, set us apart. We're too much like the world, I'm afraid. I say we, you know, the world's standards and the world's situations. But He says, come apart and let me do for you which nobody else can do. These illustrations for those that volunteer and want to grow in grace and knowledge and want to be blessed. Because the conditions are, everything God tells us, if you will, I will. If you want to be blessed, let me sanctify you. Let me set you apart for my work and my work only. Look at the last one we're going to read. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now we've read the first six. And this one is a spiritual storehouse. Remember, a lot of times we get things and we obtain it in our mind and we say, okay, self-denial, separated, all these things, got it. How quickly we lose it when things don't go our way. When somebody don't do exactly what we want them to do, or it can happen in church, it can happen in the family, it can happen in the job. You know, we've already got our goals. We know how people ought to behave. Trouble ever is, some of us don't know how we ought to behave. But we know how others ought to behave. And when they don't do it our way, then we get offended. And we forget these other things. We forget showing mercy. And we forget the kindness. And we forget the sanctification part. But now the last one is an accumulation or a storehouse of all these others. That is a peacemaker. A blessedness that God gives a peacemaker that He gives no one else. And the peacemaker is not mentioned first because it's an impossibility. You can't be a peacemaker. A peacemaker is one that looks at the whole situation and they look at other people other than themselves and they want to bring peace between this person and that person. And they'll do all they can, denying themselves, of course, and showing mercy to them, and showing kindness, and being willing to be set apart. And then it is a spiritual storehouse of all these other things all put together. We have looked at the composition, that which constitutes what God wants us to be. Second thing I want to look at is He said, the compensation that I'll give you will be so wonderful. Now He said, if you do these things, if you really want blessings, I've showed you a composition. I've showed you the real you, what you have to be. And you have gone out of your way to do so. It's not easy to self-denial. To deny yourself, that's not easy. Surely not easy to show mercy. And to show kindness when others aren't kind to you. But if you're willing to do these things, look at the compensation, the benefits, the rewards that He gives us. We've looked at the first part of each one of these verses, all seven. Now we're going to go back and look at the second part of each verse. He said, if you'll do these things, well, let's see the compensation, what He promises us to do. First of all, look at the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you sure can't get there on your own. You can't go on your own merit. You can't go because you think you were. I had wonderful parents. You probably did too. I had wonderful grandparents on both sides. Don't know much about that because I wasn't living that generation, but I do know my grandparents. I know they walked with God and talked with God, but that didn't mean I would. It mean I had a good start. I could get to the starting line, but I had to be willing to deny myself also just as they did. And He said, if you'll do so for theirs, if you become poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? We sang about it this morning. We've heard praise and worship about the Lord Jesus Christ. and about the goodness. Thank you for those songs. The first song you said, "Woo," that's one of my favorite songs. And it just sets the whole stage for the whole worship service. Because we had the person that wrote that song one Sunday night. Sure would like to have him back, Brother Randy. They told how they wrote that song. They were driving the bus, and they were going toward Bryson City, and it was early in the morning, twilight hours, and the Lord started giving them that song. And God anointed that song. When God anoints something, that anoint doesn't rub off or wear off. It still lingers, and every time you sing that song, God anoints that song in my heart. And we give him honor and glory and praise for it. For theirs is the kingdom. Can you imagine a place called heaven? We look at the sorrows down here. We look at the disappointments. We certainly know about the discouraging times. We know about failure of health. All these things. But when you're willing to deny yourself and accept him as your Lord and Savior, blessed are they. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We don't deserve it. God promises it. Look at the second one. Blessed are they that mourn. What are the benefits and what is the compensation? For they shall be comforted. When we mourn for the sins of the world and we say, God, save them. When we see others sick and afflicted and we mourn, we concern for them, God says, I'll comfort you. I never will forget, I've told this before. When I was, I guess, been a pastor just a few years here, been a long time ago, I would go visit people in the hospital. I would see them hurting. I would see them, I saw them in pain, but I could not, with all the compassion I had, I couldn't have enough compassion for them. And I wanted that. I didn't say, Lord, make me sick so I can have. But I said, Lord, I desire to have more compassion for people. Just a few weeks later, he brought me down low. I had surgery. Then I got peritonitis in the hospital for 35 days. And today, and I went through all that, and he had compassion on me. And now today, because of what I went through, when I see others hurting, I sure don't have any trouble having compassion. Look at the text. When they that mourn, blessed are they that mourn, that care for others. When they mourn for others, they shall be comforted. See, I didn't have the ability within myself to have a comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ because I didn't have enough compassion. And I desired it, and the way he let me have compassion is go through it myself. See, that was an awful thing, no? I tell others, I'll tell it again. The greatest thing that's ever happened in my life when Jesus saved my soul. A lot of good things around that, you know, my children, my grandchildren, my wife, family, all that's wonderful. But the second best thing that ever happened to me is God brought me down low. During those 35 days and showed me how to mourn for others. And at the time, I said, thank you, Lord. Even when I was hurting, I said, thank you, Lord, that you have allowed me to go through this. You could have chosen any Baptist preacher in the country. You chose me. I am grateful for you show because now I've been comforted. The only way you're going to get comfort is to mourn for others. Now, God's got plenty of comfort to go around, and he can do anything you want. He can comfort you if you wanted to, but he chose to comfort you according to the way you mourn for others. Isn't God good? We're talking about the composition, what causes a person to have all these traits, but now we're looking at the compensation he gives when you have these traits. Number three. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the word mean inherit the earth, be a partaker, to dwell in it, to be part. Remember, blessed are they, they're poor in spirit, but for theirs is the kingdom of God. And since we belong to him and he lives within our heart, then we can inherit. We're going to inherit the things of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with him. Why? Because we were born. He birthed us into his kingdom. I was birthed to Floyd Netherwater. Thank God for that. Thank God I was birthed in America. When I became 12 years old, God birthed me into the kingdom of God because I became poor in spirit and because he saved my sin-sick soul. And now he gives me everlasting life. He says, I shall inherit. Why? Because the Bible says, blessed are the meek, those that participate, those that come down on a level that you don't get on your high horse, so to speak. You just stay what you are. I'm not much, but if I ever amount to anything, it'll be because God has allowed me to have a gentle, calm spirit from him, and it is not of me. The spirit God gives us is so important. Not a high, haughty spirit, but God's spirit. Number four, we're talking about the compensations that God gives and confers on those people that walk with him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It means to fill and satisfy and to run over. We have a worship service this morning that just satisfies. It fills you. It enables you to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because we were hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, and he promises. And the benefits and compensations are when you allow him to do these things, you'll be filled. And you can rejoice. And you can be thankful. And you can be sick and still be thankful. You can be hurting and still be thankful. You can be poor. All these things that matter. You can have the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the way you get the joy of the Lord is being hungry and thirsting after his righteousness. Number five, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And when we obtain that mercy, he pronounces those blessings upon us. And he gives us that according to the way, remember, that we're willing to listen to him, to let him satisfy our soul, to let him give us the peace of mind, to let him give us that which we need. And now he says, or if we want to be merciful, we got to have that mercy. We have to show it to others. Blessed are the merciful, showing favor to others. And when we show it to others, we shall obtain mercy. You think God's going to give us that mercy? It's from everlasting to everlasting. You think he's going to give us all that mercy from him if we ourselves don't learn to be merciful one to another, if we don't weep as they weep, if we don't hurt when they hurt, if we don't extend helping hands to those in need, and we say, God, I'm so in need, feel me. Well, did you help that person I told you to help? Did you show mercy to them? No. Well, then why are you asking me for mercy? See, we're talking about compensation, what God gives us, and how he gives us the blessings that we want and desire, not because we deserve them, because we've obeyed his voice. We're willing to come his way. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have to become poor in heart. Well, you don't say, Lord, just make me pure in heart. You get pure in heart by doing these other things, by being in his will and doing his. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you to do? How can we expect him to give us the mercy and to give us the sanctification that we need if and we're not willing to come his way? To let him set us apart for his glory. Not to be like the world or the world's standards, but we're a separate people. Despised, hated, of course. And that's okay. It'll get worse because the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that's okay as long as I'm walking with him. He sets me apart. He gives me the things I need in life. That's okay. because I'm learning more and more to be about his business. Look at the seventh one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I always so proud of my boys, you know. Tall, taller than me, smarter than me, do things 10 times better than me, and we grandparents let us tell you about our grandchildren. Aren't we thankful for grandchildren? God gives us the ability to be called children of God. Can you imagine? He looks at you and I. He looks at Jesus, and Jesus is sitting on his right side, and there's a mercy seat. I sin, and you sin. I come short. But when I come his way and these previous 6 things, with all my heart, I'm not perfect, but within my heart I'm doing the very best that I know how to do, and I'm asking him to help me do better. And he looks at me and says, okay, you're one of my own. And I was always thankful to be around my dad. He is 6'6". I was so proud of him. You know, he one of the best bass singers I've ever heard sing, and his dad was like that too, and I've always wondered, well, I didn't get that kind of talent. But I was so pleased to be called, that's my dad. I'm his child. How much more that I could be called child of God. What a blessing. God, the creator God, the one that orchestrated, the one that had the means of speaking it into existence, the one that had the means of sending his own beloved son to the world, and he was willing to die and shed his blood, arise from the dead, ascend to heaven, send the Holy Spirit to convict my heart and to give me all these opportunities. He would look at me as one of his children. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's look lastly at the characteristics of a peacemaker. Remember now, a peacemaker is a summation, a storehouse of all these other 6. And he counts that really important now because there aren't many peacemakers. Why? Because they haven't obeyed the first 6. They have come so short, and then the peacemaker role is not achievable because they have not got to second base yet. You know, baseball is an interesting game. When you hit the ball, you don't say, well, if I can get back to home plate, I'll score a run. You don't do that by going to third base and back. You go first, second, and third. Well, these rules are step by step, row by row, and when we get there, we're peacemakers. But let's look at how God qualifies and the qualifications of being a peacemaker. The word is only used one time in the Word of God because there's only one way to get there, and this is the time he uses it. Call the children of God. I want to talk about that word call just a little bit. Let's go back and look at that word call. For they shall be called the children of God. To be called is, the Bible uses that, it's to give a name and then to speak that name. You know, my name is Roy. Well, people call me Roy. The word call means to speak it out, to ask something, to call it. And I was interested in the first 2 times God uses that word call in the New Testament. It'll help us understand about us being called the children of God. It's so unique. God orchestrates things. He arranges things throughout the Scripture. And when he says they shall be called the children of God, let's see how he got us there. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. First time he uses this word call in the New Testament. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. And he links us right in there, remember. These peacemakers shall be called by him, not by us. We can call ourselves anything we want to. It don't mean much. But when he calls us a peacemaker, he gives us why he did that. Why? Because Jesus was called to be Christ, and because he was Christ, he saved us, secured us, and now we're children of God. The second time he used it in the New Testament is verse 25 of chapter 1. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Called his name Jesus. What are we called? Children of God. See how God links it all together? He calls us children of God. Call us if what we want to, it don't change much. But when he calls us children of God, why does he call us children of God? Because he wants us into that role of peacemaker. Let's look at the qualifications and the characteristics of being a peacemaker. The only time he uses that. First of all, it's the product or to provide something. A peacemaker is one that provides peace between two different people. First of all, you have to have peace with God. The Bible says, one time we have peace with God because we were alienated against him. We were strangers, pilgrims, outcasts, no matter who your parents were, until he saved you, until you learned how to become poor in spirit and willing to let him strengthen you. We were nobody from nowhere, but then he saved us, he secured us, and now we're a product of that, and that means to provide for. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 33. It'll help us understand how that we're to have a principle now to care for others. 1 Chronicles 14, 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You see, people are in churches, and we're all people, and we're all different. And since we're all different, we come from different backgrounds. A lot of times, confusion has started. But the Bible says God's not the author of that. And this person that starts confusion, they think they're right. They haven't gone through the first six steps yet, so they think they're right within themselves. And the next person starts this confusion, you know, that's not the way it ought to be done. The pastor didn't do right. You know, the pastor's under shepherd and he's not perfect, but God chose him. But I don't like the way he's doing it, so I'll just be puffed up. That's confusion. And there's a lot of that going around, but a peacemaker wants to clarify all that. First thing we understand that if righteousness is one of the worst things. It's awful to be in sin and to linger there, but the people that's in sin, for the most part, know it. But the self-righteous person, one that thinks they're a little bit better than somebody else, there's no way to help them because they are saved, most of them are. And now they say, it's not about anybody else. I show no mercy. I'm not set apart for him. It's just me, and I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. That causes confusion, and only a peacemaker that God has allowed to come through these first six steps can do anything about it. And that's point to the cross and let go through these six steps. Number two, prayer. If you want to be a peacemaker, you realize you can't do it within yourself, so you have to be willing to pray and say, God, show me how to do it. You've already learned that you're insufficient, and God's mercy is always willing to help you. But look carefully now at Psalms chapter 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. God teaches us in his word how to pray for others. And he tells us specifically what to pray for. Pray for the peace in Jerusalem. I don't have time this morning to go through all the things he says. Pray for this, pray for that. But Paul taught us much in the Word of God about who to pray for and pray for the churches and pray for the hurting, pray for the unfortunate. And when we are willing to pray for others and not consume it upon their own lust, prayer is the key to be able to be that spiritual storehouse. Not self-righteous, no, 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 that's far from it. But the one time he uses the word is the accumulation of all these other things. Number three, you got to practice it, not just know it in your head. Yeah, I know all these things. I've got it now. We read it together. understand it. God broke it down for us, and we see the benefits. We see the composition of all those people now and what God put in their heart. And we see how he compensates for those that let that composition he put there come into practice. Now we're looking at the characteristics. Do we really put into practice that which we've learned? The scripture will help us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. He uses that word, if it be possible, as much as within you. What's within us? The role of a peacemaker that he has given us compensation for. If we've done these other six things, if not, we're far from it, never will get there. But live peacefully with all people. He uses that word if because some people will never come to grips with it. You can't live peacefully with people that will never repent of their sin. You can't live peacefully with people that's self-righteous and always thinks I'm right and everybody else is wrong and they're not willing to show mercy. So he used that word, if it be possible. We realize it's not possible and we go on. Don't let things stump you. I learned as a boy on the farm the difference between a mountain and a molehill. Simple, right? We have moles in the yard, and they come up and they make a little mound. And if you're not willing, you're not watching, you snap your toe on one. But what you do, you just squash it and go on. But then there's mountains of doubt, mountains of sin, mountains of scale. You treat them differently. And a lot of people has never learned the difference between a mountain and a molehill. There's a little molehill that don't amount to anything, and they'll spend their time and their resources trying to trample that. I'm talking about something insignificant. Some person that you're trying to get straightened out that will never, ever, ever come to grips with it, if it be possible. All that lies within you, live peaceably with all men. But when you realize that some would take all your time and you've got a million other things to do, go and scale the mountain. Hop on the molehill and keep going. God expects us to use wisdom. Lastly, we'll be standing. Piano and organist, please come and play whatever God tells you to play. Look at the product of all of it. Now, we're talking about characteristics of being a peacemaker. The thing that God has caused us to have a spiritual storehouse, one that never fades away, it's always there, ready to help. This will be found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. The product of hearing Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, starting with verse 3 and reading those seven principles, the product is these things. And God says they're achievable. And the composition of that which you allow him to put in you, and then you receive all the compensation he gives you, and you let it be a spiritual storehouse to help others. The results, let's read again as you're standing. Through the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and temperance. What a storehouse, the product, all because he invites us. When he got set, the disciples followed him. Why? They wanted to learn. They wanted to listen. God set the stage this morning in their worship service and their song service for the reading of the Word of God. The volunteers he solicited. and the accumulation that God wants us to have, the composition. And He is always going to be faithful in His compensation. But the characteristics are exhibited for all the world to see. God sees it, you see it, and I see it. Your head's bowed. Altar's always open. God bids you come. You're not saved. You'll never get saved unless you're willing to deny yourself. Become poor in spirit. But if you're willing to do that, He'll help you with the rest. But if you are saved, the lessons that He has taught us this morning from His Word, quite simply, broken in three parts, they're available to each and every one. If you're willing to follow His precepts, you'll have the same product at the end, a spiritual storehouse that will get you through every situation in life. Not only you, but it'll help you help one another. And that's the reason God left us down here. He saved me, secured me. I was ready to go to heaven, a child of God right then. But He left me for a reason. To be a peacemaker. To help someone in need. To show mercy. To show kindness. That's God's role for me and for you. Altar's open. Some are coming. Lord Jesus, thank You for this lesson You have taught us from Your Word. Lord, we love You and we are a candidate. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will accept and adhere to, and You'll help us achieve everything that we've spoken about this morning from Your precious Word, because You want us to leave rejoicing, to have that love, to have that fruit of the Spirit, kindness, gentleness. And Lord, we'll never have it with self-righteousness, judgmental attitudes. Only when we become meek, only when we become gentle, only when we become as You are in this world, so are we. Thank You for the song service, for the time of rejoicing, for the time of learning and listening. You sure have been good to us, Lord. We rejoice in You. We bless You and we praise You. We give You all the honor and glory because from You, of You, and for You. In Your name we pray, the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. Day being the 21st, which we set aside for those that are willing and volunteered to read the Bible. Begin at 4 o'clock, and if you have a volunteer, 103 of you. 103, I went through the whole New Testament and ascribed, you know, 1, 2, 3 chapters, whatever. About the same, as close as I could. It would take you between 10 to 15 minutes to read your portion. 4 o'clock, and if you all do it, that means we'll all 103 of us reading different portions, we'll have read the whole New Testament in about 10 to 15 minutes. If you can't read yours at 4 o'clock, I understand, but the interesting God chose today, and who knew it was going to be that cold, but what else can you do outside on a cold day? I can't think of anything better to do than open up your Bibles and read the portion. Your portion that you have, if you ever, is on the table out there, your name and Scripture will be reading. And there again, if something happens, you can't read it at 4 o'clock, or read it when you can. And thanks for those 103 people that signed up, was willing to take up your time so we can all rejoice. Now, it's all for His glory. You say, what good is if I read it and I don't hear them? God arranged this. I didn't. I had nothing to do with it. I was just listening to the Lord. He said, that's what we're going to do. Years ago, we met every night for 2 weeks and read the New Testament through. Only a few of us met. Now everybody can be a part. He's listening, and your soul is rejoicing because you're being fed from His Word. Thank You, Lord, that You have chosen this day. All minds and hearts clear. Brother Guyon, you come this message, please. Don't forget service tonight. All those people that started. As you leave, you're going to receive a financial statement of last year's finances all year long. And next Sunday night, after the service, we'll have a business meeting to go through those finances. Thank the Lord you gave exceedingly and abundantly more than the budget. So much was accomplished. God did it through you, and we give him honor and glory for it. And we're off to a good start. He's off to a good start through us, his people. So thank you for coming. Thank the visitors. Again, don't forget to give you a copy.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings upon each and every one of us. Father, it's my prayer that we could keep ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ, looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that we could have compassion on some, that it would make a difference, Lord, that would show the love of Christ through us and in us. Lord, I pray and thank you for salvation most of all. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.